Welcome to Just Woke Up, a podcast about spiritual awakenings and the self-love healing journey home. I'm your host, Ellie Lee. Hey everybody, it's your girl Ellie Lee, and thank you for coming to this episode of Just Woke Up. I have an amazing guest today. We met on TikTok. He is a shaman and an ascension master. Please give it up for Axel Carrasquillo.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Axel, I'm so excited that you're here. You and I know each other from TikTok. I've seen your content for a minute now. Your content is one of those videos where I have to stop and replay it over and over again to like really understand what you're saying. And for some reason, you and I connected and everything was very in synchronicity. I started watching your pyrokinesis videos on YouTube. And then you duetted my video that same day randomly. And now here we are. So I would just love for you to tell a bit about yourself, because I could say shaman and ascension master and like people are like, let's break that down. So introduce yourself.
Yeah. So the shaman part, just in case anyone doesn't know, like shamans are people who can travel between multiple worlds. So they understand like the psychic realm. They understand like, you know, deep energies, stuff like that. So those are usually the people like, you know, you go for tarot or you go for like removing a curse and stuff like that. Ascension is the process of changing your consciousness so that reality works for you and with you, not against you. So one of the things that I've been doing my entire life, because I come from a long line of shamans and we've been practicing it for hundreds of years, is just training my consciousness not to be like the average perception, right? Like a lot of people see the world in some certain framework, and I just don't see the world the same way. So, my journey kind of just like was all of that up until probably like 23, 24. I just spent a lot of time training around the world and like getting to know like my own self, my psychic abilities, working with like deep secrets that with masters that you won't find on TikTok or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like they're people that are off the grid pretty much. And when I was about like 24, I went through like a serious accident that gave me like this really deep spiritual awakening. And then from there, like I was forced to heal myself, and I started doing it slowly for other people, just seeing what would happen because my experience was so profound. And then within like 2 years, like I became globally famous for curing things like autoimmune disorders, cancers, and like really all I was doing was like teaching people the same stuff that I had learned. And then not only were people like curing themselves from long-term illnesses that Western or Eastern medicine wasn't able to help them with, but they were also learning simultaneously how to like access all their psychic abilities, how to bend reality, how to superjack their law of attraction techniques, all of that in one very simple system. And like now that's all I focus on. I really just teach people that all day long.
Yeah, so many places that I need to go with just that information alone. But first to say, you know, what I think is interesting about your story is that you grew up with shamans. You know what I mean? Like, this is in your blood. It flows through you. And so it was so interesting the first time I got to know you, which was literally, what, yesterday? We did, like, a TikTok live together. Was that yesterday?
That was, like, 2 days ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Time. I'm letting go to time. Okay. Something that I'm learning from you. So what I find interesting is that this has been your life. You know, I truly believe that all of our souls came in here for different reasons, for different lessons, for different missions. And clearly your soul came in here being like, all right, we going in from the jump. And then it's this really interesting story of you trying to have to adjust to being a normal kind of human. Because intrinsically who we are, if we believe that we are these divine spiritual beings, we have access to all these gifts. You know, when people are like, yeah, I'm this and I'm that. No, but we're everything. You know, it's really about what you're going to tap into, correct? So what was that like to, like, have the opposite kind of awakening from usually, you know, people like us who are, like, living normally, blah, 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 in the Matrix. Here we go. Get up. Do this education. Whatever. We're not Harry Potter. We're not magic. We're nothing. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have this awakening and then we have consciousness. But for you, it was kind of like, you were awake to all of this, you were accessing all of these things, but then you had to adjust. What was it like to be around people like us, you know, but you know what I mean?
No, I feel you. Well, like, okay, like in shamanistic society, a lot of the places that I grew up in, it was only shaman exclusive. So like if you were not a shaman, you didn't know how to get to these places, and you also weren't allowed to come in because there were like, like gates and stuff like that. So
So your
one of
mother,
the things,
can you, but were both your parents shamans?
So that's actually a really funny story, is like my parents grew up as shamans their entire lives, and then around 16 or 17 they got caught up in a missionary wave, and then they became Christian, so like a very specific kind of Christian, which is like Jehovah's Witness, and they decided to like totally drop everything that they had learned. So then my grandparents, it wasn't just my parents, it was like actually all their siblings at the same time. So shamans tend to like marry within the same kind of like cultural structure, and it doesn't matter if like you're Japanese or you're white, as long as you're a shaman, like you're accepted into the family. And when my parents left and that happened, my grandparents had to wait for them to have kids, and there's like a total of like 36 cousins, and only 9 of us ended up like actually absorbing shamanism again, and we exclusively ended up growing up with my grandparents. So then after some time, my mom, she kind of like realized like, what am I doing? And she was like, I'm gonna go ahead, I'm gonna go back to like my roots. And my dad's still Christian. My mom, she's not here anymore, but like she fully embraced that path by the time she ended up, like crossing over. So, growing up, it was just kind of like the shamans I grew up with were like very polarized. Half of them were like, the world will never get it. Like you, if you go out there and you try to like explain to them what you do and how things work, actually, they'll never believe you. Like that's why we all live in like these communities where it's just our people, right? And then there was another half of them that were like, you gotta go out there and you gotta teach them that we can do this shit. 'Cause like if you don't do that, then like how is anyone gonna know that they're capable of doing it? So I kind of had like this battle, and like when I was like about 15 or 16, I was like, you know what? I feel like my calling is to leave this, because I've always been that really independent person, and I always go against the grain, and it's just kind of like my nature. So I was just like, I can't be here and accept life as the totality of like what the world really is. And I said, okay, let me go out and let me just see what happens. So I was telling you, right? Like, I applied to a bunch of different colleges. I didn't know anything, because even like shamans are like, what's the point of going to college? Like, it's all fake anyway. It's a structure to like limit you. And I was like, okay, well, let me just, apply anywhere. First place that says yes to me, I'm gonna go. And they ended up saying, it ended up being Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I ended up going there. I didn't know anything about Michigan. At the time, I was living, I think, in Madrid. And I just packed up all my stuff, because even like my elders and my parents were like not cool about it. They were like, nah, you're gonna go and you'll be back in like a year or two. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna realize that nobody gets it. And I said, fine. So I just left. I funded everything myself, because also my parents were they we come from like a wealthier family. And basically, they were like, if you decide to go, we're cutting you off from everything. And I said, fine, you know what? I'm gonna do it. Like, I'll figure it out. And I, on my own, I just moved to Ann Arbor. I started meeting people. And what the craziest part of it was like getting acclimated to people who didn't realize how powerful they are. Like, they would hear, like, oh, you're a shaman and you came over, and I was like the token like shaman guy, right? Like, and everybody would come through and like want to see what I was capable of. And they would be like, yo, okay, like my grandmother just died like 2 years ago, and like there's this one thing that I gotta know. And I'd be like, okay, well, give me 20 seconds, I'll just call her up real quick. And they'd be like, what? And I'd tell them like details that there's no way I should know these things from your grandma, and she's directly speaking through me. And I had all these different experiences where not only did I have to learn like the modern day structure of society, like the Western mind, but I also had to learn like different cultures, because I had never had interactions with white people. Like, and I know it sounds crazy, but like I really didn't. So like I had to learn white culture. I had to learn even like anything that wasn't exposed to me. Like if it was like, for instance, like regular Indian people, right? Like I didn't know anything about their culture. I only know like Indian shamans, you know what I mean? So that's a totally different society. So it was just kind of like
Wow,
really
so
interesting to
interesting.
get to know all that, and then seeing like the business world too, because I didn't grow up kind of seeing any of that stuff. So I went to college to learn psycholinguistics, which is like how language programs the mind, and then how that creates culture, and how that basically reverberates back to you, and we create like a perception of reality basically around those things.
Wow.
And wow. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to dive deeper into this. And eventually that became part of my career. When I graduated college, the hardest part was trying to find a job as well, because I went into the corporate world and I only lasted 3 months. I was like, no way, because they were treating
There's
me
no
like
way.
crap.
Yeah, you can't be there.
Yeah, and I was like, no, like, I know way too much to be somebody else's, you know, like, slave, right. man. So I was just like, okay, you know what, like, I'm just gonna wing it. And I remember at the time, like, in the area that I was in, there was only one other psychic, and she had like a really bad reputation for like scamming people. I took it personal, like, for like 5-6 years straight. I was like, you know what?
Wow.
I'm going to be the guy that proves to everybody that, like, you can do this. There are real psychics. There are real shamans out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not everyone's a charlatan. Because at that time, too, like, a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, it's hocus pocus. It's woo-woo. It's not really real,
right.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I paved the way for that, particularly in terms of shamanism and teaching other people how to do that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it'll come to a surprise to many people that listen to this. And I'm sure people that listen to this go, okay, but not me. Like, I don't have powers and I don't have gifts. And I mean, the reality of the situation is that we live in a cage that keeps you down so that you cannot thrive and really understand and know who you are. But as many of us awaken to this, the more and more we will start unraveling all of these gifts that are within us. So my question to you is, you know, I'm sure it's interesting for you to witness many people waking up. Is that an interesting experience for you? Or like, what's that been like for you to see it happen on such a mass scale?
You know, it's crazy because, like, growing up with my grandparents, my grandfather was like super, like, it's going to sound crazy, but he was super elitist. So he was like, regular humans should be basically serving shamans. It was like his mantra. And
Whoa.
Like, my grandmother was like, yo, like, you got to go out there and you got to like teach them how beautiful life actually is. Like, so like I ended up adopting a lot of her philosophy because like Amazing. I didn't really believe in like, you know, slavery of anyone or anything like that. So today, like if they were still around, they'd be like, holy shit, we never saw this coming. You know what I mean? And
right.
like
right.
how fast it came through. So it's been really cool to see how fast it comes through. But what's the most difficult part about with this new wave of awakening is just like everyone thinks they have the answer.
Dude.
And like nobody really knows what the answer is if you're arguing that your answer is right. You know what I mean?
Axel, I literally just made a TikTok video on this. I literally made a TikTok video on that yesterday. This whole pointing fingers, telling each other we're wrong, that's not right, this is bypassing. It's like, dude, you don't know anything. Let me tell you, we're only scraping at, like, we're on, like, level one and we're scraping right now, you know, with a toothpick.
Yeah.
And so, but I think that's the ego, right? That's the challenge of the ego. It'll come, it'll always rise in different forms, and it's our job to be discerning of that. So, dude, I completely understand you. I think that's why I gravitate to you and your content, too, is you're very grounded. You know, and I think for me, I've been learning discernment like crazy. You know, I've been being like, oh, cool. I feel a little funky. I feel a little funky when I watch this person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then I stay away. And then I'm like, okay, we need to be speaking words that remind us, yes, we're still here on Earth. We're still, you know, these beings that are unraveling ourselves and figuring ourselves out. But also, guess what? You got a lot of things to access, and you really could live in this life, in the energy of love and joy and happiness, if we break out of this illusionary prison that we are in.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, what the first thing I really like to like try to drill into people is like infinity, bro. Like, infinity states that every possibility ever exists is the ultimate reality, and that's what goes. Like, but you have to wholeheartedly believe that to be your truth. That I've really focused on particularly is like, what is my truth? Like, I constantly remind myself, I'm the best shaman in the world, like, period. And as I've been, like, rolling with that vibe for, like, years and years and years, I keep seeing it happen. And, like, yeah, there's days where, like, I wake up and, like, I don't feel that way. There's days where, you know, I come in contact with a troll or a bunch of people who hate me out of nowhere. But that's your ego trying to, like, pull you back into like the old structure that you were in, because your ego is a personality. Your ego is alive. Your ego wants to survive. And oftentimes your ego believes that like if you become someone else or more powerful than what it believes to be, then it's going to die. It has an interest to survive. So like a lot of times people are going to even tell you, like people who don't really truly understand shamanism or the dynamics of reality will tell you, you got to kill your ego at all costs, which that works to a certain degree. But then after a while, you're going to realize, damn, I traumatized myself. I got to go back and I got to heal my ego and I got to make things right. So it's kind of like this thing of understanding, like with so much work that I've done, I've really realized that my ego is my best friend. Like, and sometimes people will see how powerful I am or how confident I am, and they're like, oh, you're not humble. And I'm like, no, you're right, I'm not humble. And let's go ahead and look up the definition of humble is to lower your importance. I don't do that to myself. If that's something you want to do, that's good for you. Those are your ethics, but that's not something that's going to limit me and my creations ultimately. And a lot of things too, like with this massive spiritual awakening, like people see people like me and they're like, oh, well, you can do like miraculous healing and you can manifest like, you know, $1 million contracts for other people and all this other stuff. Like, I want to do that in 6 months. Like, you're not going to do it in fucking 6 months. You know, you're like, you gotta, this is life. You know what I mean? And like, you gotta understand that ascension is not like you meditate once out of the week. Like, you got to be constantly shifting your consciousness to saying, the universe works with me. It's my best friend. Like, privacy doesn't exist. Like, my spirit guides are like my family. Like, you got to literally recreate your whole identity to make the universe do what you want it to do.
It's really like, it's never over, right? Because we're all, it's, you're never going to stop learning, right? It's always going to be like, you know, one of my mentors said recently, you can totally heal yourself in this life. You can heal yourself, but the levels of consciousness never stop, you know? So it's about growing, you know, after the healing. And so it's just what I think the most fascinating thing to me is where we are, I think, as a humanity. You know, I think especially in the times that we live in and everything that's going on, it's really the time for us to really understand that it's go time. There's no other choice. And so I wanted to go back to what you were talking about just in terms of, you know, accessing these gifts. When we talk about these gifts, I think a lot of people also, if you don't have intention behind why you want to do certain things, or if your intentions are going to be rooted in shit, it's not going to be the experience that you think that you have. It has to be rooted in something so much deeper than that. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of people see what you do and they go, I want to fucking do that. I want to do that. Why can't I? But it's like, you have to, like, first of all, yes, just like, it's a practice, dude. This is like, because you're working on yourself to access all of these things, correct? I mean, if you were boozing every night and doing drugs and like talking shit about people and like eating McDonald's, it's not like you're this clean vessel for all of these things to occur, correct?
Right, but like on the flip side of that, like infinity, right? So like duality, like I know shamans that they get wasted and they become like super hella powerful because that's what they've trained themselves to do. It's like how you process certain energies. Like there was a point in my life where I did a ton of psychedelics, and that was the only way that I would really like tap into this super huge divine. But then after a while, my body remembered those frequencies, and now I don't have to do psychedelics at all. And like, I remember the last time I did ayahuasca, I did the maximum dose of ayahuasca, which is like a plant medicine that's super hallucinogenic. And the shamans that were there were shocked. Like, I was still walking straight. I was still coherent. Like, it was almost like I just drank water. It was nothing. And they were like, how? And I'm like, I've been doing this for so long. Like, my body just knows it already. And a lot of times people take psychedelics and they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna use it as a form to escape this world, I'm gonna use it as a form to like, you know, travel everywhere else. But they're tools to help us embody these particular frequencies. You know what I mean? And like, at the end of the day, like, it's what works for you. Like, last year I stopped smoking weed, and I've been smoking weed since I was 16, you know, and I used to smoke it with my mom, and it helped my mom like grow plants and everything. Like, it was very integral in my life. And I came to a point where I realized, you know what, like, if I want to hit the next level, I can't have an attachment to weed. Like, and I had realized that Me smoking so much weed was making me feel comfortable because it reminded me of being with my mom. And I'm like, my mom didn't go anywhere. Like, if I felt like calling her right now, I can. She'll show up. Like, she'll answer me. She still talks to my friends through their dreams all the time. You know, so I'm like, where's this attachment coming from? Unless it's my ego saying, like, you can't be with your mom unless you're smoking weed. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's not true.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a really interesting topic too, the art of detachment, right? And I would love to speak to you a little bit about that, because I think and I know that as a human that all we want to do is be in control, because this world feels so uncontrollable, right? We want to control every little situation and thing and do it that the and have it come out the way that we want it to, right? But the beautiful thing I think about impermanence and detachment is really just being in the present moment. And the idea, I write on my arm all the time, just be. I always write that on my arm, right? But it is so difficult, I think, for us who have always just been like, on the go, gotta go, don't think about anything else. How do you approach this, the whole idea of presence is now and that's all we have?
Well, one of my gurus taught me, Axel, if you die tomorrow, what did you do today? And I'm like, yo, like, for real, like, what did I do today? That's, you know what I mean? Shit. So, like, it was just, like, this thing where, like, you gotta understand, like, a lot of times, especially, that's something I had to learn, not only in my life, but with, like, Western culture and, you know, being part of that whole entire society now, like, a lot of times people hold themselves back because your mom, you know, like, your mom doesn't want you to be this one thing, or, you know, like, my mom wanted me to be a doctor. And, like, she really wanted me to go to, like, medical school. I ended up being a healer, which I'm still kind of like a doctor, just a different version of it, right? And if I would have gone down her road or her template, I wouldn't be expressing my full dharma. I wouldn't be who I am today. And, like, you gotta constantly be evaluating your environment, the people around you. You know, like, that one phrase of, like, you are the sum of the five people that are closest to you is real. And you gotta look at, do they talk shit about other people? Because you know they're talking shit about you eventually. Like, are they always, you know, it's just a matter of time. Like, if they haven't done it yet, you just wait, you know? And, like, is this thing with, like, you know, if they're always on the low end, like, they're always focusing on why they're broke, they're always focusing on why they're ill, they're always focusing on why the world sucks, like, that's in your aura. Yeah, that's literally your aura. And, like, another guru of mine had taught me many years ago that, like, your whole entire environment is your aura. Like, sometimes people just think, like, oh, your aura is just, like, this thing that's coming off of you when you sweat it. But really, like, if you're in a toxic environment and you're working at a place that you hate, like, that is your aura. Mm. You are carrying that hate in every area of your life. And then you're wondering why things are difficult for you. You never get a break. And when you get home, like, you take it out on your family and you eat a ton of junk food, or you try to drink a shit ton of stuff so that you don't have to think about it. It's like, you have to be on this constant level of self-analysis, self-journaling, like, asking yourself why. Yes. Why am I doing this? Why am I going to do this? Yes. What's next after this? Like, what's the end goal of my life? And, like, I've worked with so many people, like, particularly, like, I've learned this a lot with, like, older queer men, where, like, they were in the closet until their wives died. They got married, they had kids, they had all this other stuff, and now they're 80. And they're like, oh, well, now I want to get into the gay world, but I can't because, you know, nobody wants to look at me or nobody wants to be with me, and I feel like I missed out on my life. Yo, that's called karma. You're coming back, like, period, because you didn't fulfill yourself. You didn't fulfill who you authentically were. And sometimes it's really sad to, like, you know, have those types of conversations with people, and all you can do is have them find peace when they're transitioning over, and letting them know that next time, hey, remember, you got to come back and change who you are, ultimately, be who you are. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's very triggering to people to hear that your soul chose the experience that you had, right? And then going in that, you have a choice, right? You can make choices, and then whatever choices you make, if you fulfill it, great. If you don't fulfill it, well, you're coming back, right? And it's really about acceptance, you know, just accept it, dude, because you here on the ride, you've been through at least a quarter or half of it, so let's go. And so it's very eye-opening, dude. Like, do you understand what's happened to me in the last 2 years? like my mind just on it's like you know that song, I Can See Clearly Now, the rain is yeah. gone. Like literally, I feel like it rained and I'm like, oh, I got 20/20 vision all of a sudden. And so you know, Axel, you've been surrounded by people in your life, I feel like, who understand your gifts and like what you can do, right? But so many of us are not. And like for me, you know, everything that you've taught me about your life, for me, being raised in the Christian church has always been, oh, that's Satan. Mm-hmm. That's all devil. That's devil. Don't even touch that. Like even down to like tarot cards, like, oh my God, devil. Everything's devil. So imagine how many of us have been so ingrained, you know, in our subconscious mind of how evil this thing is, when in reality, it's the opposite.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, totally. Like, and that's what religion was for. Religion was designed mm-hmm. to make you forget how powerful you are, because yep. if they make you yep. forget that you're God, they don't have control over you and they can't gear exactly. society in whatever direction they want. And that's why we have such a power class struggle yeah. between the elites and yep. like regular people, because they're still doing it. Right. Like if you study a lot of like the elites and like, you know, the most powerful people on the planet, like they went to astrologers to figure out what to invest in. Like they do their own rituals. They do all this other stuff, oh, yeah. but they don't want you to know, because if you know, then you become mm-hmm. like them. And then the power dynamic changes. And like, there are people like mm-hmm. what I teach my students, like there are the masters of light or ascension, basically, that want you, which I'm one of those people, like, right, I want you to be like mm-hmm. me. But then there's also like the masters, the anti-masters, the people who are like, they want to just take your power and use it for themselves. And we see that happening in right. every aspect of our reality, specifically the last couple of years with what's been going on globally. Like there's this debate on what's right, what's wrong. Like if you don't follow the narrative, then you have the problem. And like, you know, we've forgotten authenticity and like free will. Like if mm-hmm. a person doesn't want to do something with their body, they shouldn't right. do that, right? Like we fight that for women so often, right? Like if they don't want to have yes. a specific thing coming out of their body, mm-hmm. they don't have to do that, because mm-hmm. it's their body, right? So like, where did the narrative right. change from, like, you know, even like abortion mm-hmm. and stuff like that to, like, you know, exactly. what we're going to yeah, be right. pumping into our bodies, you know? And I'm like, I'm trying not to say the vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's also not only that, but, you know, we are really here to understand that what's going on the bigger arena is just splitting us up. Mm-hmm. You know, when in reality, we need to be standing. You know, I think there's nothing more powerful than seeing a person who, you know, got the V standing with a person who didn't get the V and go, I got the V because that resonated with me. But I stand with my fellow person right here who doesn't want to get the V because that's their choice. And that's what unity is, right? And that's what love is. And I think we have so far gone astray from love, right? Because think about it. Most of us don't even like ourselves. We got no respect for ourselves. We got no love for ourselves. When I started this journey, I was at zero, dude. I was like, what is even self-love? I was like, I don't even understand what that means. And the women that I meet, the potential, the power, who they really are is insane. But we got to trek through the mud to get to the light, because we've been through some stuff. We've got a lot of things in our subconscious. We've got a lot of programs running. Mm-hmm. And now it's really about, this is a full-time job, baby. This isn't, I'll just do this for an hour and then just like be in the third dimension. I'm like, that. No, baby, this is full-time. Go big or go home. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here, right? So that's why this journey isn't done by many, because it's hard, dude. Yeah, this is hard difficult. Stuff.
Yeah, it takes a lot of willpower, and like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what form of esoterica, magic, like wisdom that you find. The Buddha's main quote is, "I'm a master of no universe other than my own." You know what I mean? And like, oof. That was powerful. You know, and like, you have to look at the people who have made changes in the world. Like, did they conform to society? No, they didn't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, especially looking at, like, the other day I was having a conversation with one of my friends about, like, Jeff Bezos, right? And everybody, like, talks shit about him because now he's got a certain persona that, like, most people can't resonate with. And yeah, he's got a shit ton of money. But he was also working in a little closet for the longest time, and he had a desk that was literally a door that he just found out of nowhere, and he grinded forever, and he was poor. So like when he was broke, it was cool. Everybody dug him, and then he manifested himself, and everybody was like, you suck, right? And then like, what mm-hmm. did he do? Did he provide a service to the world? Hell yeah, he did. He did. Ultimately, who he is now as a baseline person versus what he manifested are two different things. Like they're connected because he understood the power of himself and the dream, right? And that level of focus that he was like, people don't get it. Same thing with the internet, right? Like the internet, people are like, oh, that's a fad, or like smartphones are a fad, but look at that. Like the people who really believed in their manifestation knew it was gonna come through. And like there was all these naysayers and all these people that tried to tear him down. But look, now without those things, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things that you really gotta totally. Sit down and you gotta look at yourself, like, what is your authentic vibration? And are you willing to do whatever it's got mm-hmm. you gotta do to preserve that and get that? Because totally. You know, I've been in relationships, like I've been divorced, okay? And I was engaged prior to that. The first person I was engaged to, it broke off because they didn't believe in me as a shaman. They didn't believe that this was a real thing. And I was like, I can't be with somebody that's like that. And I was with him for like 5 years, you know what I mean? And it's not easy to wake up one morning and be like, yo, I can't be part of this vibration if you're not gonna believe in me, right?
Of course, yeah.
So it's just kind of like these things where you gotta constantly be looking at like, what's your willpower? What's your authenticity? Who's the real you? And a lot of times people are like, well, if I embrace the real me, like there's gonna be people who hate or who are gonna hate you. Yeah, surprise. Like that's just how shit happens. Like not everyone's gonna like you. Like, and especially the more you embody
do you know how many people have unfollowed me on my social media platforms? Do you know how many friends that I see don't follow me or don't watch me anymore? If you take that shit personally, great. That's a gift. Go look into why you take that shit personally. I'm at this point now where I'm like, if you accept me, great. If you don't accept me, great. That's okay. I'm not going to be for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be for the people that I'm supposed to be for. And that's it.
Totally.
You know, we spend so much time being like, what are they going to think? We're all on the same level here in terms of working on ourselves, in terms of just ride the wave, mm-hmm. baby. Like, don't worry about any of this stuff. It just adds suffering. It's like humans love suffering. It's because it's all we know. Yeah. It's like that's our comfort zone. Yeah. It's like, no, let's not make that our comfort zone anymore. And that's, you know, it's too comfy.
Yeah,
there.
Coming back to something you said earlier is like we want control so badly. Like one of the first things I teach my students is this mantra. It's a very simple mantra, and like everyone can take this home and chant it every day. Less control is more control. The universe only solidifies itself when you wholeheartedly believe something, right? So you can make a belief that says, yo, I am so limitless. I am so powerful. Shit just works out for me. And you can solidify that reality and then you materialize it constantly. But oftentimes people are like, you know, I was given the short end of the stick and like I always get, look, life is so hard. Like making money's hard. Right. Like one of the things like made me a millionaire was the fact that I started saying one day, because I went from being homeless to being a millionaire. And like my thing was like when I was homeless and I had to rebuild myself, I was like, I will never be in this place ever again in my life.
Yes, yeah. Dude, yes.
And I was just like, that's it. And I made that my truth. And I just kept skyrocketing upwards and upwards and upwards. Yes. And then of course, like, you know, you always, like a lot of people are like, oh, millionaire or whatever. Like people who have money just suck. No, they don't. And a lot of, like, I know a lot of millionaires that you would never know that they're existing next to you. They wear sweats all day long. They're super chill. They're super kind. You know what I mean? They're just real people. The money doesn't define you. The things you have don't define you. The goals that you've made don't define you. Because there was one day, like, I remember this, like, happened to me, like, early 2019. I woke up one morning and I had saw these stats from my team that I was like, oh, we reached 150 countries in the globe and we're in 49 languages. And I was not happy. I didn't feel anything. I was just like, whoa, like I did all this work. Now what? You know, like I'm still not feeling it. And I had to stop everything. And I had to ask myself, like, okay, like, you went after this illusion of success, but you never manifested feeling fulfilled. And that was my mistake. You know what I mean? I wanted fame. I wanted money.
Dude.
But I didn't focus on the things that really mattered, which was happiness. And I changed that whole narrative. And now it's just like, it's just happiness. If happiness means I got to be by myself because nobody else can hang out with me because they don't get my structure, fine. If happiness means that I got to have a real conversation with you and tell you, hey, you know, this shit's not cool. It is what it is. If you want to be in my reality, you got to like look at these things. That's what I'm going to do because I love myself more than anything else in this reality. And oftentimes, like, this is a download that I had the other day, man. Like, it was so powerful. But it was like, so oftentimes we idealize wanting to fall in love with another person and have that like, yes, oh my God, it's the best fucking relationship I've ever had in my life. How about you fall in love with yourself like that? How about you do that and then watch what the cosmos does? The cosmos is going to become your lover. And the ancient Egyptians used to say, you have 360 senses, and the only way you can tap into them is if you understand that you are perpetually masturbating through the cosmos. And it took me the longest time to understand what they were saying, but for real, like, when you are fulfilling yourself, the cosmos, the law of attraction is going to do what? It's just going to match the frequency that you're doing. And you got to find that means for you. It's like a true love for yourself.
Yes. Holy crap. You know, that's why it all comes down to how much do you value yourself? Because it's such a powerful story that you told of becoming a millionaire, because people focus on the external object so much. The bag, the car, the man, the house, the money. How about we manifest the emotion? How about we manifest, like, literally when the other day you and I were talking, we were talking about how, like, manifest, like, what you want to feel like, you know, manifest, like, you know, accessing the gifts within you. And, like, now, literally, all that other stuff that I used to want, I see it all drifting away. And I'm like, yeah, what's the emotion, bro? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want to chase. Because I've been in places where, like, when I act, I feel alive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm, like, in a scene, like, on a stage, I'm like, everything is present, and I'm like, and when it's over, I'm like, where did I just go? You know, I know, and that's the feeling you want to feel in your life. And the fact that we can really have that, I think it doesn't comprehend to a lot of people, mm-hmm. right? That, like, what do you mean I could be really happy? What do you mean, like, I deserve that? You know, when you tell people you're worthy and everyone else that has told you that you're not, it's all bullshit. It's not real and it's fake, and you don't need to believe that. They go, what do you mean I'm worthy? And that's when the wheels start turning, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, it's just such an insane – okay. What I really wanted to get to really quickly was the money thing, right? Because you manifesting $1 million, I think everyone that's listening to this, if they're not already a millionaire, they want to be a millionaire, mm-hmm. or they want to be a multimillionaire, whatever it may be, right? But what it comes down to is obviously working at the blocks that are making you in lack in the first place, right? And then also trust. And I think trust is a big issue for a lot of people because they can't see this thing that they're trusting, right? Trusting in this unseen is like most people cannot fathom that. So they're atheist, quote unquote, right? But how does one begin to trust the universe? This is something that I'm very much in, and it is hard.
Man, okay, so let me tell you something. I trained with probably 10 different millionaire gurus, and it was weird because I spent so much money trying to get the answer, and one day I realized, oh, they're all telling me the same thing, like, in a different way, and why haven't I figured this out myself, like, somehow? Money, for the first thing I had to do was to give back the stories of every person that's ever come to my life telling me that they lived a limited story, or it was my story in general to live that limited story. And it was just kind of like, you know, like my mom had like this vibration of like she could never be more without my dad because he was a narcissist. And like I had to realize that, like, that's why I almost got married the first time, because I'm like, I gotta find somebody or else I ain't shit, right? So then I had to give that back and be like, you know, if that's her reality and she wants to live that life,
yes,
she's entitled to doing that, but that's not what I'm gonna be doing. Absolutely. You know what I mean? That's the first step right there. The second thing that I ended up realizing through all of this training with them was the fact that, like, it's not about the money. You're not going after the money, because what you really need to understand is, like, when you have more money, you're just able to make more choices. That's literally all it does. Like, the money won't bring you happiness. And that's why there's people who are rich as hell and they're still not happy because they're not making the right choices with that money, right? So you got to understand that, like, when you just start making choices intuitively, like, what do I actually want to do versus what everybody else wants me to do? And I'm going to make the choice to be me. That's going to make you richer. Automatically, it's going to take you in the direction of making more money or being more prosperous. And like, one of the things that I had to teach a lot of my close friends was, because they're all millionaires now. So like, I had to teach them, like, listen, money doesn't always come in the form of money. It comes in the form of opportunity. It comes in the form of free gifts. Like, you know, there's so many times where I've wanted something and I've been like, yo, I can't afford that. But somebody else ends up buying it for me as a gift. And I'm like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Mm. And then when it comes down to trust, like, so many people are like, I gotta trust the universe. What is the universe? It's you. So why are you trying to trust? Ooh. You know what I mean? Why are you trying to trust something outside of yourself? Because that's 3D. Mm. How about you start trusting yourself? And if you trip and fall, that's part of the process of getting to learn how to trust yourself. Yes. And oftentimes people are so afraid of like making a mistake. But you know what? I've made so many mistakes that it got me homeless eventually. You know what I mean? But look at me now. Mm. I'm probably going to still be making mistakes anyway. And you know what? I'm going to take those as opportunities that are working for me, not against me. Oof. I am shaping myself while shaping the universe simultaneously. So if I'm always going out of myself and saying, yo, like, in order for me to be happy, I need X, Y, and Z. And I, every once in a while, I'm not gonna lie to you, I go on this weird ass trip where I'm like, I'm bored. Let me just buy a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's gonna like really make me feel really good, right? And I buy all this stuff. And then when I have it sitting in front of me, I'm like, like, okay, what's next? You know what I mean? It comes back to that lesson of like, bro, like, no, meditate. The only thing that's going to make you feel really good is if you make yourself feel chill. And that's all you got to really do is not trust in the cosmos. The cosmos trusts what you trust, period.
Ooh.
You know, I got another one, though, if you give me the opportunity to share it. Yeah, all right, cool. So like my grandparents gave me this one, and it's been my mantra my entire life. From chaos comes beauty, from chaos comes peace. And like, oftentimes people are like, oh, I'm living this chaotic moment, like shit's going to the fan. But listen, it's happening for you if you change the narrative. And like, when I got older and I read Esoterica, because chaos is an energy, it's a level of consciousness. Chaos will take whatever form you let it take. Right? Because it's like silly putty. If you're seeing the chaotic moment right now and you're like, you know what? I love how chaotic it is. You know, like my schedules are usually full and I'm doing podcasts and I'm doing all this stuff. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I can keep up. But you know what? From chaos comes beauty. From chaos comes peace. I'm manifesting myself. And no one's saying that your manifestation can be like super hyper active where you gotta like keep up with it, right? But at least it keeps you doing something, right? So like, you gotta always change the narrative as to like the stress even that you're feeling, because stress can be a good thing if you change that narrative.
Totally. You know, people have to understand that this is a beautiful journey that we are on. And the moment you accept that there is beauty in everything, because let me tell you something, you cannot have the dark without the light. You cannot appreciate the light without the dark. Yin yang, balance, everything is balance. And so we honor it all. Dude, like the moment I started saying thank you in the times that I fell were the moments that I always feel like a part of like my armor comes on, like a transformer. As soon as I let go and I shift in perception, I shift in the narrative. And then it's like, oh, this is happening for me. This is not happening to me. Okay. Once you step out of the victim, after the victim, it is the hero, you know, because you're not living in that low vibration, because everything is vibration. Yeah. Everything is vibration. Yep. Axel, you and I can literally talk for so long, okay? I feel like you and I should do like part 2, part 3, part 4, part 500. But where can people find you? Because I'm sure some people are going to really want to look you up and see your class. Are you teaching right now? Tell us everything.
Yeah, so I got multiple channels that you can get a hold of me at. Like on YouTube, I'm always putting like little gems on there. So YouTube is Onto High Quantum Reiki. My TikTok is Onto High Quantum Reiki, where I'm just always just putting my one-liners on there. You can find me on Instagram at Onto High. And then I have a school. So I teach people how to become ascension coaches, because my mission is to teach other people to go out and do what I do and give it to the people. So if you're interested in becoming an ascension coach, or even if you're just looking to like learn how to bend time and your own reality and all these other things, like my school is Antohai Shamanic Center, and you can visit me at antohai.us. That's my main website where you can definitely check it out. But if you really just go on Google and type in Antohai, like, you'll find me.
Okay, cool. And I'll put the links in the description box.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here with me. I'm so in gratitude for you. Subscribe, everybody. Leave us 5 stars. Leave a review. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How'd you like this episode? Yes. And we will catch you next time in another dimension reality. Yeah, bye.
Bye.